Welcome back, everybody. We continue all the way to 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700, joined by our favorite basketball, because he pays us money to say that, our favorite basketball commentator, Kevin Lehman, is our guest right now. Kevin, how are you, pal? How are you holding up during the season?
I'm doing good. You know, it's late February. You're getting at the end of the races in the league and getting ready for postseason conference tournaments, and then Selection Sunday, March Madness around the corner. It's a great time of year, Jimmy. Great time of year to be a basketball fan.
Well, and you know what? I want to ask you this then. Is it, if you're a Hawk fan, is it a great time of year to be a basketball fan? Because, Kevin, help us out. Trent and I been scratching our heads. We've done statistical work on how bad Iowa is defensively. We have seen flashes of brilliance offensively from this particular unit, but yet when they show up to play, the disconnect on the court is painfully obvious. Can you help us out and describe, is this just a lost season by players and coaching staff that just can't seem to put it together?
Well, Jimmy, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's been lather, rinse, repeat since I saw them against Louisiana in the Cayman Island Classic. They didn't guard well there. We're in mid-February. They're still not guarding, especially on the road. And it's amazing that they haven't gotten better in that area in some respect. Offensively, we've seen some really signs of being able to score. But look at who they've beaten now. Minnesota, Illinois, and I can't even, and Wisconsin at home. Bottom feeders in the Big Ten. It's been a strange year. A school that high had high expectations. But what makes me scratch my head is they've never corrected the issues. Most teams have something that they can hang their hat on. When you look at Iowa Hawkeyes defensively, I'm not sure what they're trying to do other than maybe try to confuse you with change-up of zone defenses. But they don't really take anything away, whether it's the inside game, the three-point game, the baseline defense. So in that area, they've got to decide, what are we going to be defensively? What can we stop? And what are we going to give up?
Kevin, you know the game well, obviously, as a coach. So, you know, what are some things that they can do? There's a part of it that is just want and getting these guys to want to compete. I think that's a part of it here. But in terms of, you know, the actual X's and O's, take us in of what they can do to try to figure this out. And is it, you know, changing up how they hedge? I don't know. Give us some ideas because, again, like Jim said, we're at a loss.
Well, I've watched a lot of their games where I've taken back, just watched it on tape so I could rewind plays. And I thought Cordell Pimsel had a great statement about a month ago. We just need to be able to guard people one-on-one and stop them from driving by us. Because time and time again, you see players that just can't stop the dribble drive. And unfortunately, I think they're better offensive players than Tyler Cook and Jordan Bohannon may have the most difficulty in trying to guard people one-on-one, whether it's skill level or not want to, haven't been taught. But sometimes their ability to just get in front of the ball and stop it has been atrocious. So to me, it comes down to that. You've got to be able to stop the initial thrust of the basketball, because once you let that ball hitter get by you, now you're in rotation. Your communication has to go to a different level. It becomes a five-man defensive scramble at times, and they just haven't got better at that. They've tried to go to the zone. There's been huge – and I'll say this about your zone defense. It's only as good as the other team's zone offense. Because if they know how to attack it and they got shooters, your zone defense is not going to work. So it starts at that defensive end and just hasn't seen a whole lot of improvement from the beginning of the season. And we got fooled by this, guys. You know, they played a very lax non-conference early, and I don't think their warts got exposed until they got a little better competition.
I'm with you there. Trent just detested their non-conference schedule for the most part, and it really did not give a fair assumption of what this team really was about offensively and defensively. Is it Well, Jimmy, when they're going to play a schedule like that, go ahead.
You're just fooling yourself for four weeks until it lets you really challenge yourself. And, you know, they played Colorado, but those other teams, they just weren't anything that was going to show what your weaknesses were at that you could prepare yourself and try to correct them. That came when it was too late, when you open up an early Big Ten season in December.
I'm real curious about this. I think there'll be a couple of players who will transfer out, and I think there might be a coach, maybe two, that leave. Are you feeling that vibe, or do you think that it's going to be status quo no matter what?
Not many of his players have left. Well, I guess I'll take that back. They've had some transfer out. Boy, life's been pretty good for him if you're an Iowa basketball player, other than the wins and losses. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't see a coaching staff change. And the reason why, I think you have a Fran McCaffrey who's a very loyal coach. He's loyal to his players. He's loyal to his staff. And they've got guys on that staff that can coach defense. And, you know, Kirk Sparrow is a Lute Olson guy. I've known Kirk since the late 70s. He's a guy that can coach defense. So I think that's on the staff. I really don't see any change there. And, you know, it wouldn't be voluntary, guys, because they make some pretty good jack being assistant in the Big Ten. That's a pretty good position financially for them. And unless you're going to take a head coaching job, not many people leave Big Ten assistant's job voluntarily. So I don't see much change there. As far as the personnel on the team, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple more scholarships open up.
Here's the problem. They've been together for 8 years. It's incredibly rare to see any group of coaches at the collegiate level together fully intact for eight seasons, and we're trying to change things. These guys are all smart basketball guys. They get it, but doesn't it lead to groupthink where you're trying the same ideas over and over and over again? If you want to make this thing better, you got to make some tough decisions. It's one thing to be loyal. It's another just to pound your head into the wall because you want to pound your head into the wall. Kevin, you got to do something here. And there are no free agents, though in a way there are with fifth-year grad transfers. But there isn't going to be a quick fix here. What's wrong with telling one of your coaches, you know what, we got to make a change. Andrew Francis, the time is now. You want a head coaching job, go get a head coaching job. We love what you've done, Kirk Sparrow, but you know what? We need an infusion of youth. We need something here. It just, 8 years together, Kevin, I think it's too much.
Well, what you're talking about, Trent, is the definition of insanity.
Yes.
Doing the same thing over and over again,
yes,
expecting different results. Yeah. And, you know, you see a lot of coaches make those hard decisions when they move their staff. I remember Lute Olson doing it to Jim Rossborough, was with him for 30 years,
mm-hmm,
and let him go at Arizona. So there are coaches that do that, bring in new ideas. And the big thing, guys, is you also need to bring in someone that can recruit possibly a different area for you. And we talk a lot about this Iowa personnel. I'll say this over and over again. They need people that can beat you off the bounce. They don't have that. They don't have the guy that can scorch you with the dribble, create shots for other people. So what we're seeing is you've got to run motion, you got to run pattern. It's defended because you're scouted. To me, that's an issue for them. And I don't believe I would have said this months ago, but how much would Christian Williams help this team right now at the defensive end? Because this guy was 6'6", 7-foot wingspan, ability to put pressure on the basketball, on the dribbler, because your defense starts with that front guy dribbling, guarding the dribbler and putting pressure up there and everyone feeding off of that. So I think that's a big piece of the puzzle that they lost way back in November.
Okay. Take me quickly to Iowa State, and we still want to get to the Valley with you and I and Drake as well. Iowa State lost to Kansas at home. Kansas is a better team, and they struggled shooting the three ball, turned it over too much. Now they're on the road Saturday at Kansas State. Is this about the best that we could get out of Iowa State right now with the players that they have currently? Next year they're going to be very good with the players coming in. But is this about the best that you get out of Iowa State right now?
Well, when I look at their schedule, you know, Kansas State's playing really well. And to go to Manhattan, Bruce Weber's done an excellent job with this team, and he seems to be a guy that's under the microscope every year at Kansas State. You got TCU at home, who's really been struggling. You've got Oklahoma State back at home. It's going to be tough for them to win at West Virginia. Oklahoma's going to be waiting for them down there. So I say this is a team that can get two more Big 12 wins. But, Jimmy, I kind of think what you see is what you get. I remember we talked last week, and I said they're going to get one of these teams here, Oklahoma or Kansas, because Steve Prohm can game plan. You've got Hilton Magic. That's good for a couple wins. But this is a team that's got some flaws. They don't have a lot of margin of error. They've got young players that are stars in the making in Cameron Lard, Lindell Wigginton, and then having Nick Weiler-Babb back. That may help them here down the stretch when they get in the tournament. But they need some more depth up front. They don't have that stretch four man. They've got them, but they're not eligible to play this year. So I think what you're seeing with Iowa State is what you're going to get. It's going to be an up-and-down team. When those three guards shoot it well, they got a chance to beat anybody. When they don't, they're going to struggle. And we've seen them. They've beaten three top 25 teams at Hilton Coliseum.
All right, let's go over, Kevin, to the MVC, the Drake Bulldogs. Still in a position to play themselves, top 2-3 seed in the quarterfinals, and possibly a chance to be on that right side of the bracket opposite of Loyola. Is that really what the Bulldogs should be playing for now? Hey, just stay away from Loyola, and if you get to the finals, that's when you'll see them.
Well, let's turn this back to the Hy-Vee Classic. Who would have thought when Drake was playing Iowa State was playing Northern Iowa, that this would be the team that had the winning record of the four teams mm-hmm. in their league? This is a Drake team that's going to get 10 wins. They're going to at least go 10-8 in the Valley. Only of those four schools with a winning record. They put a bunch of points up on Indiana State. Now, I had Missouri State and Southern this week. Missouri State is really talented. Really talented. If they get things straightened out, that's a team you don't want to draw in the tournament. Loyola's playing at a high level. That's a team you don't want to draw in March. And Southern is playing well here. To me, those are the three top teams. Drake, the surprise team of the Valley, yeah, it's going to be about matchups for them when they get to Arch Madness and who they get paired up against. And you probably do want to stay away from Loyola, but Southern and Missouri State are good too. But this is a Drake team I think is really exceeded beyond expectations. And Nico Medved is just doing an outstanding job with this program, bringing back the old players, and his players bought in immediately this season on what they were about.
What in the world, then, is wrong with UNI? I mean, they can't even score 50 points. The game that they won the other night was just dreadful. So what happened to this team?
Well, Jimmy, you've been there. I was behind the microphone. They went the last 10 minutes. Did not score a field goal. They simply cannot shoot the rock. They struggle at the offensive end. Their defense has been good, but they're putting so much pressure on themselves defensively because the offense is so inconsistent. I mentioned this last week. They don't have a bucket getter. They don't have Jeremy Morgan, mm-hmm. Wes Washburn, a guy that can create, get that basket for him. And they're trying to play off Bennett Cook inside. I really question how strong their senior leadership was this year with Cook and Clint Carlson. They got some good young players, but this is a team. They have not won a game on the road. And when you're mid-February, guys, if you're still searching for identity, you're in trouble because you are what you are in mid-February.
Kevin, there's more trickling out on the NCAA Pro. We talked way back in August about that. It seemed to dissipate for a while, but I saw Pete Thamel from Yahoo. He had a report last night talking a little bit about it, and at the end, one of the sources said, we might see Tennessee Chattanooga as the 2 seed. Now, a little hyperbolic, of course, but this thing is far-reaching, and another source said, we could see half of the teams that were in that initial top 16 that were released on Sunday be ineligible for the tournament. What's happening here? What's your take?
I'm hearing up to 30 schools could be involved in this, maybe more, when this breaks. And, the FBI, Department of Justice, they're keeping things under wraps. So it's not much info is leaking out. They're collecting their information. They're doing their investigations. When this breaks, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be a blow to college basketball because there are going to be some marquee blue blood programs that are involved in this situation.
Always good, pal, when we catch up with you. Enjoy all the basketball this weekend, Kevin. Thank you.
Guys, I always fun being on with you. Have a great one.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye, guys. Catch you later.
See ya.
All right. Kevin Lehman, everybody, right here on the Big Talker 1700. He's got so much insight. And, Trent, that last question that you asked about the FBI investigation, I think he's dead on. I think this is going to rock college basketball to its core. And I don't know if the penalties will be that severe if you have as many as what Kevin said, 30 programs.
Mm.
And a lot of them are blue bloods, and all of them are getting penalized. Does that mean we're going to have Miami of Ohio matched up against Wyoming in the Final Four? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, if they can't participate, I mean, you could have that.
Maybe we will get all four teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud.
If they make their determination prior to the Final Four, I have a feeling that that won't be the case. But, man, when that hammer drops, it's going to be a heavy one.
Well, let's take a break here, Jimmy B. I'm saving my saving the voice for tonight.
Coming up, you are.
7:30 this evening, it is the Class 3A semifinals. Winners move on to the big grand march, to the championship. All the lights, but I love this evening. It's the best, in my estimation, of what we get at the high school wrestling tournament. And we'll have the coverage here for you beginning at 7:30 with the semifinal round in Class 3A. Quick timeout. We're back with more in a moment on 1700. Back one final time. We got state wrestling coming up tonight. It's the semifinal round in Class 3A this evening. Jimmy B, my adopted basketball team, they're in action tonight. My Rhode Island Rams. But I don't think many people are excited about that in Des Moines, Iowa. So instead, we look forward to the weekend, Jim Brinson. What's caught your eye? Where are you going to be and make sure you're in front of the TV over the weekend?
Well, I think that SMU Central Florida game. No, not really. I am going to check out Texas-Oklahoma. I just want to see if Oklahoma can rebound. They are playing at home. They are hosting Texas. I just want to see if Trae Young can start to relax a little bit and get it going a little bit after the struggles that he had. Look, of course, I'm going to be into the Iowa State K-State game and the Iowa Indiana game. I know you're going to have to like tie me down on the ground to watch the painful Iowa game, but I will, because that's what we get paid to do. I will indeed watch that. Elsewhere, I'm just trying to kind of peruse here real quick. Did you watch any last night of Auburn, Kentucky?
I did. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah. Pretty entertaining stuff. Auburn's dangerous. They really are. And finally, the fans have come back to Auburn basketball. Late afternoon, I'll probably make sure that I'm around to take a look at Villanova Xavier. I want to see how Villanova can rebound, but they're playing a Xavier team that's really good, Trent, and that game is at Xavier.
That's a good one. That's one that I have certainly marked in the calendar. West Virginia at Kansas, I'll be into that. 5 o'clock start for that one. Of course, the locals.
How about the Montana State Eastern Washington game? No, that's a big game at 3 o'clock.
No.
Okay.
But, Jimmy B, Sunday, there's three really good games.
Yes.
You got Ohio State at Michigan. Absolutely. Yeah. In. Yeah. Duke at Clemson. Yeah. Clemson, a huge surprise this year. Even with the injuries that they've had, they're still running off victories. Even with the loss the other night to Florida State. I like that one. And then this one also has my eye. Wichita traveling north up to Cincinnati to take on the Bearcats. Now, actually, we'll not be in Cincinnati. You know the Bearcats aren't even playing at home this year?
No, I know that because they're remodeling their arena.
Right. So they're playing in, on top of it, they're playing in Kentucky.
It could, yeah, I know, across the river. It's great. For people who have never been to Cincinnati, the city is right on the river, and across the river is Kentucky. And so you have, it would be like the Des Moines River. If the, on the other side, instead of being the East Village, that would be what's next to us, Illinois. So people would be living there. It's the same thing like Omaha, Council Bluffs, kind of like that.
Sure.
So that's what it is. It's just divided by a river, but mm-hmm. It is pretty interesting that, yes, because Kentucky is indeed getting a remodel at their campus arena, that they are going to have to travel on the bus, go over the bridge, and play in Kentucky. It is kind of funny from that standpoint.
It's Northern Kentucky's home court that they play in. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought I've seen it in highlights a couple of times. And the Norse emblem out there. And I also love that they're not playing at the Cintas Center where Xavier plays. I'm sure Xavier mm-hmm. said, "Hey, now go kick a can.
Yeah,
you're not playing at our building." That rivalry is awesome.
It is.
Jim, there's a real opportunity. Can you imagine that? Elite Eight, Cincinnati, Xavier to go to the Final Four, two programs.
Wow.
Xavier's never broken through. Cincinnati, it's been a long, long time. You got to go back to Nick Van Exel and crew.
Nick Van Exel,
since they broke through. So
Bob Huggins was the coach.
Go back to that and those two teams for a Final Four. You can sign me up for that right now. I would take that for an Elite Eight game.
Yeah. Yeah. The Xavier and Cincy, they do not like each other at all. And when you talk about, I mean, we have fun with the Cy-Hawk rivalry. Trust me, it's not a rivalry in comparison to what Xavier Cincinnati is. Okay. Mm. I mean, they hate each other. It's off the charts. There have been terrible brawls that have broken out there. And this is brawls on the court that have taken place. And I mean, it's a nasty rivalry, and they always have extra police in the building anytime those two schools have to play against each other, and rightfully so.
All right, Jimmy B, before we run, a lot of college basketball over the weekend. The NBA All-Star Game is this weekend. You got what do we got tonight? Skills competition on this Friday. What else they do? The sophomores versus the freshmen. They still do that dumb thing.
Yeah, Saturday's the three-point shot and the dunk contest.
All right, so who do we got? You got to know this, right? Or are you guessing like I am?
I'm guessing. I did not even pay much attention to whom has entered the dunk contest this year. I really haven't. I just have just kind of washed out because we've been so busy covering everything that's been taking place, and I'm just going to...
Don't lie. I got it here.
You got it already?
You're so busy. Get out of here. You just didn't look at it. Yeah, I'm so busy. Knock it off. All right, here you go.
I am. All right, who you got?
Three-point contest. All right, we got eight in the contest. You ready?
Yes.
You mark down when you hear them who you're going to take to win this thing.
Okay.
Eric Gordon, Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Devin Booker, Wayne Ellington, Tobias Harris.
I'm going to take Devin Booker.
You want Devin Booker. All right.
Yep.
Good luck with that. I'm taking Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's going to win.
Okay. I'm taking Devin Booker.
All right.
All right. What do we got for the dunk contest here? Let's see. Is that Donovan Mitchell from Utah, Victor Oladipo, Larry Nance Jr., Dennis Smith Jr.?
Yes. I'm crossing off Larry Nance Jr. He's too big. Big guys don't look good doing it. So
correct.
I'm crossing
his
him
dad
off.
Won the dunk contest. You know that one time.
I had the poster on my wall, Jimmy B, of dunking
Did
the two
you
balls.
Really?
Yes.
He dunked two balls at the same time.
It was great. One of my favorite posters growing up was basically every winner from the 1980s. They're all on one poster, and that was Larry Nance was out there.
Wow.
So
he's there. Yeah.
Okay. I like Donovan Mitchell as a player. Yeah. Dennis Smith Jr.
He's a real good player.
Dennis Smith Jr. is winning this, though. Freak athlete.
He is.
He gets it done. He and I have him in fantasy, and he doesn't shoot the ball real well.
And I
figured out why. He's been working on his dunk. So there you go. Dennis Smith Jr. is going to win the dunk contest. Who you got?
That is my selection as well. Look, I like Larry Nance, and he's thrown down some unbelievable dunks in games. But as far as highlight reel stuff and the creativity that they can put into it, I'm going to go with Dennis Smith as well. I like him. I think Donovan Mitchell, Victor Oladipo can really dunk, but I just think Dennis Smith Jr. finds a way to win this. I really do.
Who's winning the Taco Bell Skills Challenge? I just kidding. Nobody cares about that. Nobody.
Okay, fair enough. No, now you're really putting, about that. Is Steve Nash in there?
I don't think so. He might be. I don't know. All-Star game. Team LeBron, Team Steph. Who you got?
Well, how many players has Team LeBron lost? He's lost everybody.
Boogie?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Porzingis? And John Wall?
He's got no...
That's all he needs.
Is Jimmer Fredette going to come and play in this thing? Look, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I think LeBron's just lost too many guys. So I'm going to go the opposite direction and take Team Steph. That's it. He's lost way too many guys. Just look at the guys that you named off.
Yeah. I forgot about Kevin Love.
Kevin Love, too. Yes. Yeah. Busted finger. He's lost four, and they're all big guys. He's got a bunch of little weenie guys like you and me that are going to show up on the court and play.
I don't think there's any guys built like that in the NBA, Jimmy B. With that,
okay, fair enough.
We are done. Well, you are done for the weekend. I still have a whole lot to do.
I'm telling you, tea with lemon or tea with honey. Let it coat your throat, big guy. You'll make it. You'll make it through, okay.
All right. Lots of whiskey. That's what I'm hearing. Lots of whiskey. All right. I'll make it work. Jimmy B, you have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, pal. We are done, everybody. Don't forget, Trent has all of the wrestling coverage all weekend long right here on the Big Talker 1700.